ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಾಯ ಮುದೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯ. ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಟಿಕಿ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 5 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 19 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 23. ಕಲ್ಪಾಯುಷಂ ಸ್ಥಾನ ಜಯಾತ್ ಪುನರ್ಭವಾತ್, ಕಲ್ಪಾಯುಷಾಂ ಸ್ಥಾನ ಜಯಾತ್ ಪುನರ್ಭವಾತ್, ಕ್ಷಣಾಯುಷಾಂ ಭಾರತ ಭುಜಯೋವರಂ, ಕ್ಷಣಾಯುಷಾಂ ಭಾರತ ಭುಜಯೋವರಂ, ಕ್ಷಣೇನ ಮರ್ತ್ಯೇನ ಕೃತಂ ಮನಸ್ವಿನಾ, ಕ್ಷಣೇನ ಮರ್ತ್ಯೇನ ಕೃತಂ ಮನಸ್ವಿನಾ, ಸನ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಸಂಯಾಂತಿ ಅಭಯಂ ಪದಂ ಹರೇ, ಸನ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಸಂಯಾಂತಿ ಅಭಯಂ ಪದಂ ಹರೇ. ಕಲ್ಪಾಯುಷಾಂ ಸ್ಥಾನ ಜಯಾತ್ ಪುನರ್ಭವಾತ್, ಕಲ್ಪಾಯುಷಾಂ ಸ್ಥಾನ ಜಯಾತ್ ಪುನರ್ಭವಾತ್, ಕ್ಷಣಾಯುಷಾಂ ಭಾರತ ಭುಜಯೋವರಂ, ಕ್ಷಣಾಯುಷಾಂ ಭಾರತ ಭುಜಯೋವರಂ, ಕ್ಷಣೇನ ಮರ್ತ್ಯೇನ ಕೃತಂ ಮನಸ್ವಿನಃ, ಕ್ಷಣೇನ ಮರ್ತ್ಯೇನ ಕೃತಂ ಮನಸ್ವಿನಃ, ಸನ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಸಂಯಂತಿ ಅಭಯಂ ಪದಂ ಹರೇ, ಸನ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಸಂಯಂತಿ ಅಭಯಂ ಪದಂ ಹರೇ. ಕಲ್ಪಾಯುಷಾಂ of those who have life duration of many millions of years like Lord Brahma. Sthana jayat, then achievement of the place or planetary systems. Punarbhavat, which is liable to birth, death and old age. Kshanayusam. Of persons who have only 100 years of life. Bharata Bhujayaha. A birth in the land of Bharatavarsha. Varam, more valuable. Kshanena, for such a short life. Martyena, by the body. Kritam, the work executed. Manasvinaha, those actually understanding the value of life. Sanyasya, surrendering onto the lotus feet of Krishna. Samyanti, they achieve. Abhayam, where there is no anxiety. Padam, the abode. Harehe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A short life in the land of Bharatavarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years, because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharatavarsha in a lower planetary system is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection even in this short life by fully surrendering onto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus, one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. Purport. This is further confirmation of the statement given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bharata Bhumite Hoila, Manushya Janmayara, Janma Sartaka Kori, Karapara Upakara. One who has taken birth in the land of Bharatavarsha has a full opportunity to study the direct instructions given by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and thus finally decide what to do in this human form of life. One should certainly give up all other propositions and surrender to Krishna. Krishna will then immediately take charge and relieve one of the results of past sinful life. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami maasujaha. Therefore, one should take to Krishna consciousness as Krishna himself recommends. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji imam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer me obeisances. This is very easy even for a child. Why not take this path? One should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. One should go directly to Krishna and engage in his service. This is the best opportunity offered to the inhabitants of Bharatavarsha. One who is fit to return home back to Godhead is no longer liable to the results of karma, good or bad. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Krupa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Kindly repeat. A short life in the land of Bharatavarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years. Because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. Although life in Bharatavarsha, in a lower planetary system, is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection, even in this short life, by fully surrendering onto the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus one attains Vaikuntha Loka, where there is neither anxiety nor repeated birth in a material body. Mukam karoti vachalam pangulanga ite grim yat krupatam aham vande shri gurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam. It's quite a humbling experience to be here in this holy dham and to offer some service to all of you glorious devotees. I'd like to beg for some mercy from the senior Vaishnavas assembled here and try and share a few thoughts on this wonderful verse. So to get a proper perspective of the verse that we are discussing today, we'll just refresh our mind with the translations of the previous 2-3 verses, so we'll get an idea of where we are. Just refresh our mind. So in the verse 20, it is mentioned, actually in the verse 19, there's something very interesting. It says that, for in the Bharatavarsha, one takes birth exactly according to one's past karma. And if one's position is ascertained by a bona fide spiritual master, and one is properly trained to engage in the service of Lord Vishnu according to the 4 social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and the 4 spiritual divisions, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, one's life becomes perfect. So in other words, what is being said is that if one is offering oneself at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master and allowing the spiritual master to ascertain what kind of a varnash and ashrama we are suitable for, and one places oneself at the feet of the lotus feet of the spiritual master and allows the spiritual master to engage him according to the varna and ashrama, then one's life becomes perfect. So there is a window of opportunity in the material world to make one's life perfect, but that is subject to the condition that one offers oneself in service, one offers oneself at the disposal, unconditionally, in the hands of a bona fide spiritual master. Simply by existing in this Bharatavarsha or this material world is no guarantee that we will achieve perfection. The overriding condition is one accepting a bona fide spiritual master, which is what it says here. In the verse 20, it is mentioned that after many, many births, when the results of one's pious activities mature, one gets the opportunity to associate with pure devotees. We may not be aware or we may not be conscious about it, but the fact that we have the opportunity to meet sadhus of the caliber or great personalities like Srila Prabhupada, or touch his books or read his books, means that this is the culmination of many, many lifetimes of preparation. When one's results of pious activities mature, one gets the opportunity to associate with pure devotees. So the opportunity to associate with pure devotees is not something that comes without intense effort. It is the culmination, it is a blessing, it is the mercy, it is the result. So Bhagavatam is trying to tell us that don't take this opportunity casually. Please think of how many lifetimes we have probably engaged in before we have placed, we have the opportunity to have an audience with a pure devotee of the Lord. Then one is able to cut the knot of bondage to ignorance which bound him because of varied fruitive activities. The Bhagavatam quickly jumps to the right point that this association with a pure devotee helps us cut the knot of attraction to fruitive activities. Prabhupada has said this many, many times. It's this temptation to enjoy fruitive results which binds us to this material world. It's not the other way around. It's not the material world that binds us. It's we who are getting bound up to this material world by our attraction, by our temptation to enjoy fruitive results. So Prabhupada, sometimes there's this joke that you hold on to a tree very tightly. And can you say the tree is holding me? We cannot say that. Actually, we are holding on to the tree. So the tree of this material world, we are the ones who are tightly clasping because of this desire to somehow or other taste different types of fruitive results. And that is what binds us. But here it is mentioned that this pure devotee of the Lord is so transcendentally powerful, is so mystically powerful. But he can help you. He can assist you in cutting the knots of attraction to fruitive activities. He is so perfectly situated, a pure devotee is so empowered, and he is so renounced, that simply by proper association, Prabhupada emphasizes the word proper association also, proper association, respectful association with a pure devotee, he will mercifully remove, he can mercifully remove our attraction for fruitive results and fruitive activities. As a result of associating with devotees, one gradually renders service to Lord Vasudeva, who is transcendental, free from attachment to the material world, beyond mind and words, independent of everything else. So what else does the pure devotee do? The pure devotee plants in our heart a seed of attraction for Krishna, Vasudeva. This is the gift a pure devotee can bestow to mankind. Firmly plants in the hearts of those who are willingly offering him service, who are associating with him in a proper mood, proper attitude of submission, of humility, of sincerity, of dependence. Then the pure devotee will bestow upon these followers the seed of bhakti. The seed of bhakti, which means seed of attraction for serving Krishna. That bhakti yoga, devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, is the real path of liberation. So here in the early part of the shloka, it is mentioned that we are bound to this material world because of our attraction to enjoy some fruitive results. Fruitive results means the tendency of the living entity to expect some return for the endeavor, for the efforts. And the tendency of the living entity to taste that. This is a very, very powerful binding force. But the pure devotee is quite really the opposite of this. Pure devotee is materially indifferent. Materially cannot be disturbed. Materially unagitated. He cannot be agitated by material happenings or material change. He understands that anything that is happening in this world has a goal, has a purpose, has a design. And it's happening simply and purely by the sanction of the Supreme Lord. And because he understands and he recognizes Krishna's hands in everything that is happening in the material world, he doesn't see a need for anxiety. His beloved Lord Krishna is behind everything that happens, is the cause of everything that is happening. And so why he should worry? If something is happening, it is because of Krishna's sanction, Krishna's direct sanction. So a pure devotee, by definition, is not agitated by material change. And a pure devotee also understands that Krishna is the real enjoyer. We are the enjoyed, Krishna is the enjoyer. And a devotee wholeheartedly, joyfully accepts this reality. Joyfully accepts this reality and offers himself in the service of Krishna. Krishna, you are the real enjoyer and may you be happy. May you be always happy. May your happiness increase. If I can in some insignificant way contribute to your happiness, to your pleasure, Krishna, I would be very happy to do so. In fact, I would consider that the perfection of my existence if I can in any way contribute to your pleasure. So, a completely a different perspective than what ordinary materialists who are engaged in wanting to enjoy fruitive results. And that, by the way, Bhagavatam explains, is our constitutional position. And this rebellious attitude that Srila Prabhupada is referring to is the refusal to accept that Krishna is the enjoyer. But then, in the pages of the Bhagavatam or in the pages of so many Puranas, Krishna is mercifully trying to show, very kindly, very mercifully trying to demonstrate repeatedly to the living entity that your best welfare is at my lotus feet. Your best interest is served when you surrender to me. Your interests are completely taken care of when you are surrendered to me and you offer yourself in my service. You want to be independent of my shelter, you want to be independent of my protection. Then you're bound by the results of your karma, your previously acquired karma. And when you're, to the degree you're independent, to that degree I don't interfere in your life. So you're kind of on your own. And that is against the constitutional nature and position of the living entity. The constitutional position of the living entity is to be dependent on Krishna, is to be engaged in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada gives this famous example of the fish outside water. How can the fish be happy? So repeatedly, every little, whether you take the Ramayana or the Mahabharata or the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is trying to, one way or other, trying to convince the living entity saying, please come. Allow me to take charge of your life. And I won't let you down. In the Vishnu Sahasranama, there are many names of Vishnu. Very lovely, very endearing names of Vishnu. One of the names is, we all know, Achyuta. Achyuta means Krishna, the Lord is one who doesn't let you down. Another name, another fascinating name of Vishnu is Anala. Literally it's translated like this. Here is this Lord who is not satisfied by anything that he does for his devotees. He's not satisfied. He wants to do more for his devotees. The Lord is always thinking, what more can I do for my devotees? So Krishna is trying to tell the living entity. And this message of Krishna is conveyed very expertly by the pure devotees. Which is why the pure devotee becomes an instrument in the hands of the Lord. And just to give few examples of the Lord's concern for his devotees. So one time, in the Mahabharata, in the assembly of Yudhishthira, they make a decision that Yudhishthira should go ahead and do the Rajasuya Yajna. So they all sit together and then they think, and this was before the Kurukshetra war. Yudhishthira decides that he should do a Rajasuya Yajna. And then as they are deciding, the five brothers and the supporters of these five brothers are sitting together and deciding, Narada Muni comes there. And immediately they very respectfully receive Narada Muni and then give him a seat of honor, worship him very respectfully, very joyfully, because he is a messenger from Krishna. And then they convey their decision to Narada Muni. They said, sitting here, we have discussed and we think it's probably the right time. The time has come for Yudhishthira to do a Rajasuya Yajna. And they very humbly submit to Narada. They say, my dear great sage, you travel all over the universe. Can we request you, can we very humbly request you to present this proposition, this idea to Krishna who is in Dwaraka. Convey this desire of ours to Krishna. And so Narada agrees and he makes Dwaraka his next stop. As soon as he goes to Dwaraka, Krishna very respectfully receives him. After an exchange of pleasantries, and Krishna shows this respect to Narada Muni, one of the first things Krishna asks Narada is, what news you have from Hastinapura, from Indraprastha, I'm sorry. Krishna knows he was in Indraprastha, and the first thing Krishna asks is, what news you have from Indraprastha? What are these wonderful five brothers thinking about? How are things going on in Indraprastha? Because Krishna knows Narada is coming from Indraprastha. So Narada explains that this is what they have decided. They have decided that they should perform the Rajasuya Yajna. And they are waiting for your permission, they are waiting for your sanction, waiting for your advice, waiting for your opinion. They are waiting for your support. And they asked me to convey this to you. As soon as Krishna hears that this is the decision of the Pandavas, Krishna tells the assembly of the Yadus who are there, I need to go immediately. I want to go to Indraprastha. My dear devotees have decided that they will embark on a Rajasuya Yajna. And it's my duty to be with them. I want to go there immediately. And Krishna goes to Indraprastha with his associates and a big army. Reaches Indraprastha and the Panchapandavas are overjoyed to see Krishna. Every time the Pandavas and the devotees meet Krishna, it's explained in the scripture that it's like a sick man getting access to oxygen or something, like a hungry man getting access to, so they become so overjoyed to see Krishna and they submit themselves to Krishna and say, my dear Lord, we are so grateful that you have agreed to be with us once more. This is what we have decided. So we are anxious to know what your opinion is. Should we go ahead? Should we not go ahead? Would this be pleasing to you? Would this project be pleasing to you in any manner? Then Krishna sits there and then he discusses with the Pandavas, Yudhishthira and others. And Krishna poses one problem. He says, but there is one problem. And what is that problem? Krishna says that problem is in the form of Jarasandha. Jarasandha is still alive. He was still alive at that point in time. Krishna says, he is mighty. He is very powerful. So he asks Yudhishthira, so what is your plan? How are you planning to counter Jarasandha? Jarasandha was a rival to Yudhishthira and also to Krishna himself. Jarasandha had already imprisoned thousands of kings. So it was very clear to Yudhishthira that when he was thinking about, and Krishna was telling about Jarasandha, and very clear that he was a mighty, almost invincible person, Jarasandha. Then Yudhishthira says, maybe it's not the right time to take up this Rajasuya Yajna. He says, let's withdraw our plans for now. We'll think about it at a later point of time when Jarasandha is probably not present. Lord Krishna says, no, no, no. Bhima says, no, don't give up this idea. Arjuna says, don't give up this idea. Bhima says, I will go. I can take on Jarasandha. Yudhishthira says, no, he's very worried. Knowing fully well the might of Jarasandha, Yudhishthira obstructs Bhima. He says, you cannot go. Then Bhima says, no, I'll take Arjuna with me. Wherever Arjuna goes, he is victorious. Yudhishthira thinks, no, I don't think it's a wise thing to do. Let's wait. Wait for a proper time. Then they look at Krishna. Krishna says, I will go with both of them. I will go. And then Yudhishthira accepts that proposition. Because Yudhishthira tells Krishna, if you are there, I have nothing to worry. You've always been so kind and merciful to us. My dear Lord, as long as we are at the shelter of your lotus feet, under the shadow of your lotus feet, we have nothing to fear. I have no hesitation, I have no fear. If you are agreeing to go, then I know Jarasandha is already defeated and killed. May you be victorious. And then he sends Jarasandha. He sends Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima to go. And on the way to meet Jarasandha, Krishna makes the whole plan. A to Z, the whole plan, how to deal with Jarasandha. We'll go as Snatakas, which means Brahmana students just out from college. And this Jarasandha has made a vow that he'll never say no to any Brahmana who comes and asks him for anything. So Krishna makes the whole plan, A to Z, what we will do, how we will go, what we will say, what you will say. And on top of all that, he reveals that secret about Jarasandha's birth to Bhima. And he tells Bhima, this is the way to deal with Jarasandha. Ordinary course, you cannot. You have to split his body into two and throw in two different directions. And Krishna explains how we have to do this. And finally, as per Krishna's plan, they go there and they reach Magadha. Jarasandha is the king. And they go as brahmacharis, Brahmana students, and Jarasandha invites them. And Jarasandha says, what can I do for you? Then Krishna tricks him. And then Krishna says, I want a one-to-one duel with you. And Jarasandha looks at the three of them and chooses Bhima. He says, he's probably the right candidate to fight me, not the other two. And then there is this whole wrestling, and then Jarasandha is finished, and then Krishna returns. So this whole incident shows that for the sake of his devotee, for the sake of a devotee who has surrendered, Krishna doesn't hesitate. Krishna doesn't say, I'm busy, I'm too tied up. No, he has no other business other than to entertain his devotees. Take care of his devotees. Krishna has no other business other than to showcase his love for his devotees. But then in today's verse we see, and also in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is qualifying our surrender. He's pointing out that actually, there are different levels of surrender. The Nectar of Devotion explains different levels of surrender. One thing is to externally engage our senses in the service of Krishna. That's good. That's very good. Rather than engaging our senses or ourselves in the service of anything else other than Krishna, the best thing is probably to dovetail everything that we have. But Prabhupada says here in today's purport, he writes very carefully, he writes, one should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly and thus become fully eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. So there is a qualifying comment here. We should try to follow the instructions of Krishna exactly, completely, perfectly. In one of the purports in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes one very stunning statement. Prabhupada writes that one can either become perfect in one moment's time, in 1 second, or in one moment's time, or 1 second, or One may try improperly and not achieve perfection even after millions and millions of births. And not achieve perfection even after millions and millions of births. And Maharaj Prabhupada gives the example of Katvanga Maharaj. And Prabhupada explains, it depends on acceptance of the knowledge and proper understanding. Proper understanding and acceptance. So in other words, this is one of the caution that is given to practicing devotees, that one should not, somehow or other, one should not become mechanical in our approach to devotional service. That is the biggest risk for practicing devotees. So we tend to do things mechanically, we tend to not apply our mind in what we are doing, not engage our mind in what we are doing, and tend to become very mechanical. And Prabhupada says, millions and millions of lifetimes, you may not achieve perfection. But then proper application of the mind and acceptance, they are the key. So in other words, sometimes devotees, all of us, including me, we have this tendency to look at our progress in terms of number of years we have done or number of other external measuring items or tools or something of that nature, but not necessarily we look inwards. But Prabhupada is saying we need to look inwards also. To continue to serve the Lord is very nice, is very wonderful. But unless there is an accompaniment of proper mood and attitude, we may not really get the kind of benefit that we are capable of getting. For instance, what is being spoken about here is birth in Bharatavarsha. So how does one take advantage of birth in Bharatavarsha? Because Bharatavarsha is glorious because it's mentioned here that there's so many holy rivers are there and so many great saints are there. And hence, whichever way you turn, there's some opportunity to meet a sadhu or something connected with Krishna. So how does one take advantage of this birth? So Sukadeva Goswami also tells Parikshit Maharaj that in the beginning of the second canto, he says that quite a bit of our progress in spiritual life depends on the quality of hearing. That's quite really a very key factor. So if we are hearing, Prabhupada explains, like Parikshit heard Sukadeva Goswami, or like the sages of Naimisharanya heard Suta Goswami, or like Arjuna, the way Arjuna heard Krishna. Which means, treasuring every single word. Every single word, every single instruction as being spoken for my benefit, for my welfare. And accepting. So these become very, very key ingredients to see that we continue to make progress. So there's this famous story that, you know, there is this mosquito which sits on the body of a pure devotee, and then there's this servant who's listening attentively, who's taking a better quality of association. Mosquito is probably closer. But it's not in the right mood or attitude. So, if we are to take benefit of this birth in this Bharatavarsha, if we are to take benefit of this opportunity to associate with pure devotees, then we should be open-minded and submit ourselves unconditionally to these instructions that flow out of their mouths. It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Vidura was instructing Dhritarashtra, not just Dhritarashtra, the Bhagavatam makes it a point to mention that all the residents of that palace turned up there. And very respectfully, they were hearing Vidura. Every single word that Vidura was telling. joyfully, very respectfully, very humbly hearing and saying, this is my life here. This is what is going to make me better devotee. This is what is going to make me ultimately, this is what is going to one day make me dear to Krishna. And these instructions of pure devotees are so potent. They're actually the most potent form of spiritual energy in this universe, the instructions of a pure devotee. And Krishna demonstrates in what mood we have to accept these instructions, because when Bhishma is instructing the Pandavas on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna was personally present. And he's encouraging Bhishma to speak. So Prabhupada says everything begins by hearing Shabda. So if we don't apply, if we are in some way or other contaminated by, I don't know, a fruitive mentality or some seed of doubt or some other form of contamination, then we cannot relish these instructions of Krishna. So what we are encouraged to do is, we have to think, we have to keep in mind that one of the most dear quality, one of the most special qualities of Krishna is the way he deals with his devotees. The kind of concern he shows for his devotees. The love he shows for his devotees. Like in the case of Jarasandha and the Pandavas and their desire to do Rajasu, Krishna comes down from Dwaraka, sits there, plans with them, removes the obstacle called Jarasandha. And then when they actually do the Rajasuya Yajna, and Yudhishthira says, I am giving you the Agrasthana, the most important seat of honor during this Yajna, Krishna accepts it. So we just fill our mind with these kind of loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees, and then somehow, and hear it from the mouth of a pure devotee, that Krishna actually cares, Krishna actually hears, Krishna is concerned. And I've reached the lotus feet of Krishna. I've reached the lotus feet of a pure representative of Krishna. I don't have to think anymore. And then, with an open mind and heart, hear very humbly, whatever you're saying is good for me. And then pray. That Krishna, when will the day come when I will be able to develop faith, unconditional faith in the words of your pure representative, in your words. My dear Lord, when will the day come when I will develop some attraction for serving you more and more? When will the day come when this burning flame in my heart of desire for enjoying sense gratification or any other form of activity which is not pleasing to you, when will that flame die down? So Krishna says, it's mentioned that if we relate with a pure devotee in a service, in an attitude of service, automatically this mood is bestowed upon us, is granted to us mercifully by Krishna and the pure devotee. So in other words, there is a big role that our mind has to play in helping us progress. Actually, that is the most critical role. Prabhupada says millions of lives you can carry on in a mechanical way, but you may not be making all that kind of progress that you can make if you apply your mind. And a pure devotee shows what is the meaning of applying one's mind by being unagitated by material change, by being uninterested in any form of material activity or material change. By being, actually one will become completely satisfied by engaging oneself in Krishna's service. This is not some imaginary, illusory promise. This is the reality. When one is engaged in Krishna's service, one becomes completely and fully satisfied. But the challenge is to reach there. And the way to reach there, Prabhupada explains that here is this, your mind has a big, big role to play. So we should be concerned about trying to take advantage of this short duration of life that we have, and this rare opportunity to meet and greet and live with pure devotees of the Lord. The even more rarer opportunity to interact with the most glorious of all scripture called the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the more we apply our mind, so which is why you see that even in the Kulashekara alvas, Mukunda Mala Kulashekara is praying, Yad Bhavyam Tad Bhavatu Bhagavan Purva Karmanu Rupam Yetat Pratya Mama Bahumatam Janma Janmantarepi Tvat Padham Boruha Yogatam Nishchala Bhakti Rastu. Kulashekara alvas is actually praying to his mind and he's begging Krishna, saying, my dear mind, why are you disturbed by different changes that happen in this material world as per my karma? I am not interested in changing my karma. Yad bhavyam tad bhavatu bhagavan purva karmanu rupam. I am not interested in changing my karma. Whatever is due to happen as my karma, let it happen. In other words, a devotee is demonstrating that we need to be materially indifferent. Some loss doesn't matter. Some gain doesn't matter. If there is loss, it is by Krishna's reign. If there is gain, then I offer. Anyway, I'll offer everything I get back to Krishna. And Krishna is, we know Krishna is not interested in our material offerings. Krishna is interested in our heart, in our mind. So, whatever is destined to happen as per karma, let it happen. Yad bhavyam tad bhavatu bhagavan purva karmanu rupam, as per my previous karma, let it happen. I'm not interested in changing. Then what are you interested in? Kulashekara is Almar is saying, my Lord, please, I'm begging you, please bless me with nischala bhakti rastu, unshakable, unflinching faith in you, in your lotus feet, in your instructions, in serving you and serving your devotees. I don't want to be interested. I don't want this mind of mine to be distracted by anything else. So there has to be, the mind also has to be taught the culture or nature or art of dependence. According to our mind, we may think a certain decision in a certain point of time is correct or good, but it is good to verify. It's good to verify. It's good to submit your decision in front of an acharya and show your willingness to lead your life according to his decision, his guidance, his instruction. Just as Yudhishthira, every time, at any point of time, at any tricky situation, he would think of Krishna and submit his problem to Krishna and say, my dear Lord, tell us what we should do. Not that he was the wisest of men, but he understands that Krishna has a plan and it is my duty to submit myself to Krishna's plan, Krishna's desire, Krishna's intention. And that is the meaning of being wise. A really wise man means always verifying with Krishna, always verifying with the spiritual authority. So one time Ambarish Prabhu had a delicate problem. So when he used to visit the temple in Boston or Detroit, he was repeatedly being pestered for money. And he was a very soft person. He didn't know where to draw the line. And he really had so much money. And he didn't know. He was feeling pretty embarrassed. Then he said, devotees are not looking at me like a devotee, but devotees are looking at me like a bank. Like I'm a bank or something. Every time I go, they pester me for money. Then he wrote a lovely letter to Prabhupada. And in that letter he writes, my dear Srila Prabhupada, I'm sorry to bring this problem up with you. I know you're so busy. And he writes so nicely, he writes saying, I have nowhere else to go. I've given my life to you. I have this delicate problem. I go to the temple and they're pestering me for money. Everybody is asking me for money. I can't say no. I'm confused. But they're asking me so much and so many times that my heart is becoming a little hard. And out of fear that they will ask me for money, I'm even considering stopping going to the temple. My dear Prabhupada, please guide me. And Prabhupada writes back a reply saying, who is this people? Who are these people who are approaching you for money? Ask them to approach me first. You don't have to give anything to anybody without my permission. I will tell you what you have to give for, and you give. If someone approaches you, tell them to come to me. So Amrish Maharaj, Amrish Prabhu writes there saying, I don't know anywhere else to go. I don't know anything. You are my shelter. You are everything for me. So hence I am submitting this problem to you. Please guide me. Please tell me how I should. So an aspiring serious devotee should fill his heart and mind with these kind of stories and these kind of models. We may have intelligence, we may have variety, but it's proper etiquette to submit ourselves to our guru. That is the meaning of submitting. Saying, this is what I think, this is what I think we should be doing. Is this okay? Or do you have some other plan? You can see this many times in the Mahabharata. That at many, many tricky situations, Yudhishthira goes back to Krishna or to Vidura and asks them, is this the right thing to do? Is there something else? And Krishna sometimes corrects, Krishna sometimes says, go ahead, this is right. And that is auspiciousness. Actually, we as devotees have nothing to do with this material world. For us, Krishna is everything. We have no plans other than Krishna. Krishna's plan is our plan. Krishna's mission is our mission. And Prabhupada says, if you live in this consciousness, it does not matter where you live, Bharatavarsha or any other place. The point is that in Bharatavarsha, it's easier to develop that consciousness. But if you live in this consciousness, Prabhupada said, any place is the same. Hellish planet, any planet is the same. Krishna's plan is my plan. Krishna's pleasure is my goal. And I want to become an instrument in Krishna's hand. So my association of pure devotees in a mood of service, the devotees will bestow upon us that kind of a consciousness, and that is our real wealth. Ability to accept instruction, ability to accept correction, humility, dependence, like Ambarish was dependent on Prabhupada's direction. You tell me Prabhupada, I'll follow. Nothing else is more important than following your guidance, your instruction and pleasing you by doing so. And so by this association with pure devotees, slowly the attraction for fruitive activities will slowly get. The knot of attraction for fruitive activities, because we develop this conviction that actually so much more pleasure in serving Krishna unconditionally, so much more happiness in serving Krishna lovingly, unconditionally, without any motivation, than there is by stretching our hand out to Krishna and asking for something. So the whole Bhagavatam is a literature which is trying to transform our mind into wanting to serve Krishna in that manner. And Prabhupada says, Bhagavatam says, Bharatavarsha, great opportunity to achieve that very quickly. But this is not limited, because spiritual life is absolute and very complete. It's not limited to those in Bharatavarsha, nor is that automatically achieved by someone in Bharatavarsha. Prabhupada says, you may be doing, but if your mind is elsewhere, if your mind is still contaminated, you're not associating with devotees in a submissive manner, you have more faith in yourself, in your thinking than on Prabhupada, Prabhupada's instructions or Prabhupada's association, whatever. And you don't understand the value of this spiritual etiquette of verifying. I mean, there is provision for discussion and debate and everything, but ultimately, following. So Bhagavatam is trying to reculture our mind into becoming very intense spiritualist who will take full advantage of birth in Bharatavarsha. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions or discussion? Yes.
We find that many times Srila Prabhupada says that we are trying to make qualified Brahmana out of even say Westerners and foreigners. And at the same time he says that we should establish Varnashram Dharma. So establishing Varnashram Dharma would mean that we should have perfect or excellent Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya and Shudra. So how do you comment about this, two opposite things?
They are not really opposite, because if the Brahmanas are there, automatically Brahmanas are capable of restructuring the society in terms of natural divisions of Kshatriya, Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya. So Prabhupada said Brahmanas are like the head. So if the Brahmanas are there and they are fearlessly discharging their responsibilities and duties, they can reorganize society. Brahmanas are powerful. Brahmanas are very powerful. So in the scriptures there are many stories of how even the kings of the Yadu dynasty or Ikshvaku dynasty, Lord Ramachandra's dynasty, would be very respectful in their dealings with the Brahmanas and the sages. Like Lord Rama accepted Vashishta as his guru. So the Brahmanas, if they discharge their duties carefully and fearlessly, which means they should be truthful, expert, well-cultured in spiritual knowledge, selfless. Selfless. And very bold. And they are at the lotus feet of the Lord. So they become natural leaders. So they have to be expert also. Then they are accepted. And then according to the advice of the Brahminical class, the society can reorganize itself. The Brahmanas are actually capable of reorganizing. They have that kind of a... Which is why he is a Brahmana. Brahmana means he's pretty expert. And then there is naturally a society can reorganize itself under the guidance of a Brahmana. So when they have this delicate situation that Dasharatha is dying and Rama wants to leave to the forest, all of them go to Vashishta. And Vashishta guides them. So, just a minute. So at all points of time, it is favorable and beneficial to the society if they accept the good counsel from strong, well-situated, expert, fearless, selfless Brahmanas. But if the Brahmana becomes contaminated, then there is no use. He is no longer a Brahmana. Then there will be chaos, which is what we are seeing today. Is that okay? Yeah.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna. You made a reference to mechanical bhakti, which I could not understand the real meaning. Is it possible to further explain with some examples what is mechanical bhakti and what is not?
You see, one of the best examples that comes to my mind is... He's like a sportsman who's undergoing some training. The sportsman is pretty result-oriented. Let's say he's into sprinting or some running or something. So the sportsman is always conscious, okay. Or into weightlifting, whatever. So how much weight was I able to carry today? What should I do to improve? This is my target. This is the Olympic record. Now, how do I get closer to it? So, his whole psychology, his whole activity is geared up towards progressing, moving forward. Everything, you know, his eating habits, his living habits, his lifestyle, his what he does and what he eats, and everything is geared up towards. And then he has a time. He wants to achieve something within that particular time. So his mind is completely involved. But the same thing, let's say this, there is no goal, there is no target, there is no ambition. And the guy is training, then what does one achieve? Nothing much. A little bit, because he's training, a little bit. But then let's say he has made up his mind that I want to achieve this by this date and I want to do this. And he works backward and seeing how I can achieve this. So that's the thing about being mechanical means it's not driven by a goal, it's not driven by intensity. So when you have a goal and when you have something to achieve, you become very intense. You're conscious about time. One more day is gone and I have to do something more. So in the Bhagavatam it is said, we really don't know when our final call will come. We really don't know which moment our final call will come. So, but we tend, the nature of this material world is it tends to make us comfortable, makes us settle down, makes us complacent. We stop thinking about passage of time. Actually, after some time, that is the meaning. We slowly start becoming mechanical in our approach. Because it's not driven by a goal, it's not driven by intensity, it's not driven by some kind of intense desire. Or even being conscious about passage of time. Prabhupada says, which is why there are many warning bells in our system. At the age of 50, call it a day. Now apply yourself completely on how to progress. So there has to be some intensity, like Prabhupada, anybody who met Prabhupada could see, he had this burning desire to fulfill the mission of his guru, write more books, translate more books, publish more books, expand the movement, make millions of devotees, make the whole world into devotees. This burning desire. You can see that in many disciples of Prabhupada. Some of them have specific missions given by Prabhupada, and so they're completely absorbed in that, and then they're understanding that time is running out and how can I do more. So unless it's driven by some kind of an intense desire to achieve something for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, it tends to become very... our mind drifts away into something else. So just hold our mind and apply ourselves with intensity. Like we do during the marathon. Where we don't think of anything else. The December marathon. We don't think of anything else. We're like hungry wolves trying to... Who can buy books? How I can sell books? And actually, that's how we should live every moment of our life. Marathon gives you a jhalak of how one should live, how an active devotee lives. Not that after that we shift our gears and come down. No, we continue in the same mood. Ever increasing levels of intensity and application of the mind. Is that okay? Any other question? Yeah.
Right. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, bhai Deepa bolu chalega?
Haan ji. Haan boliye boliye. Samajh mein aata hai, bolna thoda mushkil hai.
Prabhuji, Bhagwan Ram aur Bhagwan Krishna aaye jab dharti par manav roop lekar aaye, wo kis ashram mein kis varan mein kaam kiya unhone? Ye sab.
Bhagwan Ram aur Bhagwan Krishna kis ashram mein the? Aur Krishna varan kaun sa varan mein the? Wohi aapka prashn hai?
Haan, yehi prashn tha aur किस आश्रम के तहत उन्होंने ये सब एक्टिविटीज की?
Did I understand correctly? Is he asking that what was the varna of Lord Rama? Is varna and ashram? Is that what he is asking?
मेरा प्रश्न ये है प्रभु जी, भगवान राम और भगवान कृष्ण जो धरती पर आए तो इन्होंने किस वर्ण और किस आश्रम में रहकर इतनी एक्टिविटीज की?
भगवान राम तो क्षत्रिय थे, क्षत्रिय इक्ष्वाकु वंश में राजा, he was a king, क्षत्रिय, ideal king, मतलब आदरणीय, क्या बोलते हैं, model, what do you say for model in Hindi, आदर्श राजा, आदर्श क्षत्रिय, आदर्श गृहस्थ, आदर्श राजा, जो भी भगवान राम ने किया वो आदरणीय है, आदर्शी है. कृष्ण तो कभी क्षत्रिय था, कभी वैश्य था. नंद जब तक नंद महाराज के गांव में था तो माना जाता है कि वो ही वॉज लाइक अ वैश्य. नंद महाराज तो ही वॉज अ बिजनेसमैन, वैश्य. बट देन व्हेन ही वॉज इन मथुरा एंड व्हेन ही वॉज इन द्वारका, ही वॉज अ किंग, क्षत्रिय. इसलिए व्हेन शिशुपाल स्पीक्स अबाउट कृष्ण इन द राजसूय यज्ञ, शिशुपाल सेज व्हाट वर्ना यू हैव, व्हाट आश्रम यू हैव. You are nothing. You don't belong to any ashram. then Bhishma says, yes, how he can belong to any ashram? He's transcendental. You're right, you're speaking right. But point is this, it does not matter what ashram. Bhagwan to Bhagwani hai. Chahe wo Matsya avatar mein aane dijiye ya Varaha avatar mein avatar le, Bhagwan to hamesha Bhagwani hai. Chahe wo Yashoda Maiya ka god mein chota beta jaisa ho, phir bhi Bhagwan Bhagwani hai. He is always God. Aisa nahi ki bade hone ke baad, you know, he becomes God. No, he is always God. He is doing leela. Rochante swajana naam, for the pleasure of his devotees. Yani un bhakt logon ke liye, bhakt logon ko khushi karne ke liye, Bhagwan alag alag avatar lete hain, ek ek avatar mein alag alag position lete hain, sthan maan lete hain. Is that clear? If we are done, we'll stop. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shri Shri Radharas Bihari ki Jai, Shri Gaur Nithai ki Jai, Shri Ram Sita Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.